been murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm,
Overcast,
Google Play Music, and Satchel. It is a Purple Friday, and it is an international Purple Friday.
Yes, sir. Purple Friday worldwide, but technically this weekend, worldwide in London, man.
In London!
You're going to hear that phrase a lot this Purple
Thanks to
Friday.
Joey Tribbiani, man. That's one of my favorite Friends episodes.
Oh, it's a great one.
Like two or three episodes right in a row, the whole in London thing. Yeah. Classic.
Yeah.
It's my favorite show. I always have to... In London. Yeah, we know.
All right, so let's just talk about the fact that the Ravens, they're playing their first game in London up against the Jags, who have been there a couple times before. Does that put the Ravens at a disadvantage that the Jags kind of know the Wembley Stadium and like the noise and everything like that?
You know what? That's a good point. It's like, kind of like their home field advantage, per se. I really wouldn't go that far. I mean, I've heard a lot of horror stories about the turf.
Right.
I heard that if it rains... It's going to be ugly. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The weather there has been dreary. I've been seeing pictures all week, so who's to say what's going to happen with the turf? But I'm very excited to see how that all plays out.
Yeah.
Because I've heard a lot of bad things about it. But you're right. You would think it gives the advantage Jaguars, or at least a little bit, because they're familiar with the itinerary. They're familiar with the territory. It's kind of like their home game. It is one of their home games, obviously, because of the situation, because they don't sell at home a lot.
Yeah.
He took away a home game from them and displaced them to London. So there's a lot of jokes out there saying how the team could end up being moved to London out of Jacksonville, which, hey, don't put it past the NFL. It could happen.
With how popular these games are, I would not be surprised if a team in London, a full-time team, would happen at some point.
Right.
Like, we're going to discuss, you know, in a second. That's my next question to you, is about the travel for this team and how it's going to affect them going forward. But that's always going to be something that the NFL looks at. Like, think about this. The Ravens, they've never done this before. They took a red-eye flight over last night. They're just getting used to the time change on
Friday.
It's like
a 5-hour difference, I think, yeah.
Yeah, and how's that going to affect them coming back?
Well, Joe, you heard Joe. I don't know if you heard him, but he was like, he was fine. He said they took care of him on the flights.
Well, dude's got like five kids. He's not used to sleeping at all.
Of course not. He probably got a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
And most of these guys did, but they probably had it well thought about, well, you know, ahead of time, well thought about, well planned out, the itinerary. And even I saw the interview today, Flacco looked upbeat in spirits. And I mean, you get the excitement of London, but these guys didn't look tired. If they were, they're very good actors and didn't show it. But he even said he feels great, no jet lag. So, I mean, and they got right on the practice field today. So I'm excited to see. I really couldn't get a lot of tidbits because of the time change and me being at work today, obviously. It's just been very frustrating trying to get that. But from what I did, I saw the snippets of Harbaugh. I saw the press conference with Joe. Joe looked fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a little bit of highlights in practice, but other than that, the team is ready to roll, I think.
Seeing all those pictures of the flock over there.
My God, it's incredible.
I'm kind of bummed that we're not over there.
I'm actually, because they're all on social media, I'm really just like pulling from the Ravens Twitter feed, and if we can, I'm going to share them on the call Facebook page. Dude, they took a picture of the flock rally and like the whole, it was like a pub crawl. And the place was mobbed with purple and black. I'm getting chills just talking about it. Like, because I've been listening to fan reaction and how incredible it is. And it's just like, we're over there in droves.
Yeah.
And I even tweeted somebody. I said, we travel well.
Mm-hmm.
And we always do. I mean, whether it's, you know, all the way in Seattle, Green Bay, wherever we're at, I feel like we travel well with the team. And every time I'm on a road game, I see it a lot. Like, I'll be on a flight and oh, there's purple and black, and we're high-fiving you. Are you going to the game? It was like that when I went to Detroit for that Monday night game.
Yeah.
I took one of the last flights out of Baltimore, and it so happened to be that it was like everybody on that flight was headed to Detroit for the game. It was great, and we're sharing stories. I met people that were – they went to both Super Bowls in our history.
Oh,
it was
wow.
just like, you know, throughout the years of my travels, you know, going from road games to road games, and yeah, I actually wish personally I was in London, but I will say this. My aunt and uncle are in London. That
are
was a
they?
Shocker. I saw their pictures at Stonehenge.
Oh,
in the,
wow.
In the clock this morning, and they were in the Thames River. Incredible. Just seeing the pictures there and the environment. Guys I tailgate with every Sunday morning at the Ravens games, they're parked right, you know, so some lot, him and his wife were over there.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, a lot of people, and you probably know personally, they made this trip, and it's once in a lifetime seeing the support.
Yeah.
And not only from Ravens, like even Harbaugh even mentioned in his press conference, not seeing the support from the states, but there are Ravens fans, as we know, obviously listeners from the call.
Absolutely.
You know, we have, you know, I think one of our listeners, Rickard Olson, he tweeted me, he's going today, or I think, and I believe, quote me if I'm wrong, but I think he's from Sweden, so I apologize if that's wrong or incorrect. I think he is. Can't remember. We're all over the place, but I know he's out there, and but I don't know if you knew this, and you know, maybe it's my geography's off. I didn't know how close Paris was to London.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have a couple friends that they're making, you know, they're going to the game and then they're going to Paris to finish off their vacation.
And I don't know if you saw that, too, because my friends of mine went to, they were like taking pictures of Eiffel Tower, but a famous former Raven was at the Eiffel Tower today.
Oh, yeah?
Agent 89.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he tweeted a picture. He was in front of the Eiffel Tower.
He's a world traveler. He loves
great?
All going
I know he's working
for
Alpha Network, but how great is that?
Yeah.
To be an ambassador for the Ravens. And how about seeing the video of Ogden and Ray catching
Ogden,
for the first time?
Ed Reed's over there as well.
Reed, incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, a friend of mine was on the boat with BMOR around town, and Ogden was on their boat.
Oh, that's cool.
It was like J.O. was right on the boat. Like, just thinking about the experiences. I mean, not only the game's got to be played on Sunday. We almost forget that with all the festivities. But just think about what's going on over there.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Now, I mean, as great as all of this is, and I don't want to be a downer or anything like that, but the world that we live in now, London has become a target for a lot of terrorist activity and a lot of attacks on public spaces. And I know the NFL is going to take care of everybody. I know the police over in England will take care of everybody. But, like, were you hesitant at all to get tickets because of, you know, some of the stuff that's been going on? I mean, just last week, a subway got a bomb went off in London.
And thoughts and prayers for everybody involved. It's so unfortunate.
The Ariana Grande concert was in Manchester. I mean, look at Paris a couple years ago when there was a soccer game where people, you know,
and concerts and everything.
Yeah, just, I mean, it sucks that that's the world that we live in, and that's kind of the thing that you're thinking about. Harbaugh said you can't live that way. You know, you can't be scared of something like that. You can't let something like that stop you, but. As I was like looking into it, that was in the back of my mind, and I mean, hopefully, nothing happens because I think the NFL will, and the police and everything will take care of everybody over there. But like, do you think that's in the mind of maybe like some of the team and coaches and some of the fans over there?
Yeah, man, I think it's in the back of everybody's mind because you always say what if.
Yeah.
But and not to really shadow what Harbaugh said, but it's my own personal vendetta about it is. You can't live scared.
Yeah.
And it's like for me, when 9/11 happened, everything, does it change your itinerary? Sometimes it does. You have to think about what ifs. I'm going on a flight to Minnesota next month. It doesn't – none of this things that go on in the world that we live in now, in the back of my mind for my travel, but it's not like I sit there and before I buy tickets or a road trip go, you know what? What if something bad happens?
Yeah.
Or what if I drive out there? Yeah, it might be a 30-hour drive, but it's like what if I drive versus – No, I'm like, look, let's go, let's live it. If my time's up, it's destiny. I can't fault that.
Yeah.
I can't fight that. It's going to happen, whether it's today, tomorrow, 5 years from now, 20 years from now. It is a concern because I know a lot of people are over there.
Mm-hmm.
I even talk to people. I'm like, you know, hey, be safe. Let me know when you land.
Yeah.
You know, I see it. My brother, who's traveled abroad, I deal with it with him. You know, he travels. He's been to Dubai. He's been to Germany, Ireland, even London. And I kind of got his input, you know, before I went. But obviously, you know, personally, and for the fans who don't know, I personally didn't go because I made a great choice. I bought a house this year.
Yeah.
So I'm a new homeowner as of this month. I've been in my house 3 weeks, which is awesome. I bought a condo, and it's one of my greatest accomplishments. I signed the papers. I'm a first-time homeowner. I'm proud to say it. But I look at it that way. You know, I had to make the tough choice. I remember in the beginning of the year when the schedule came out, me and your family were talking about getting the trip to go, and we were pumped. We were like, no, we're doing this. Let's put the deposit down. It was kind of funny because this year a lot have happened. Mm-hmm. I had an opportunity to get PSLs for the first time.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I said the same thing to you. Should I get PSLs or should I save for London? Now, PSLs, man, you got your season tickets. I got a pair for the rest of my life until I decide to sell them. I'm one of the very few.
Yeah.
I mean, there's people get on the wait list since the team's been here, and I just jumped the whole line and I had them handed to me.
Mm-hmm.
Can't complain. Then it was, do I want to buy a house and move out, or do I want to go to London and a once in a lifetime opportunity to see our team play and enjoy the environment? You know what? Right place, right time, right place, right. Everything happened really quickly with my realtor. She found me a gem of a home. I have to give a shout out, and here I am.
Yeah.
So you're right. Not to get away from that, but yes, you know, in a sense, it crossed my mind, like, what if all these bad things happen? But no, if I didn't buy a house, or even if I already bought the house and I had a year plan for this trip, I would have brought you with me. I would have been, bro, let's just go.
Yeah.
I mean, once a lifetime. If the Lord calls us home and it was in London at the Ravens game, hey, what? I mean, I hate to say, but what better way to go? I mean, you know, not to be bittersweet, but
if you're going, that's the way you would want to go
at the Raven. Yeah,
yeah, but that's all you.
Let me see the game first, please.
Yeah,
but no, it's a fair question, honest question.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to report that no bad incidents, and not to say that. Oh, I'm happy it happened before, not after. You don't want anything to happen like this in the world, and it
right.
sucks that we have to talk about it. But everybody's safe right now. I'm happy the team got over there in one piece. And who didn't make it, unfortunately, was Brandon.
Yeah,
Wayne. On with his foot injury. It sucks to hear because he was such an ambassador for
us,
man.
Over the summer, he went there.
Such a blow to the team.
Yeah, and off the field, it really sucks because he was such an integral part of the announcing of the London game and you know, being an ambassador for the NFL and the Ravens.
Right.
But on the field, this guy, I mean, he just got a big contract, so he's a big deal over the summer. But he stopped the run. Like, he was one of the biggest points of the defense. Now, we do have some guys that are going to step up, and they're going to be in his place. But, man, not having Brandon Williams there is just a huge blow.
Bro, it's going to be a huge difference. Not only already we have down Yonder on the line on the offense.
Yeah, we'll get to him.
Absolutely, and we'll get to who's going to be replacing there. But everybody's been asking me this week, and it's funny. You know, Brandon Williams not there. How is our defense going to play? And it's funny, and we'll talk about for the breakdown of the game for the Purple Friday preview, but fantasy owners.
Yeah.
Should I start Leonard Fournette because Brandon Williams is out? And what about that run defense? I'm like, hey, what options do you have? Who's on your bench? It's the same thing. You know, fantasy reality, how is Leonard Fournette going to perform? Because our big run stopper's gone. And we know how what happens on the line, where if the run stoppers are doing their job, it allows the linebackers to freely roam. And I feel like without a big body Brandon Williams, man, his talent, it's going to show. And I hate to say this, but if it's a game, let him miss this one.
Yeah.
Because we know what's coming next week. And we know if the Steelers take care of business against the Bears and we do business in London, dude, 1 o'clock next Sunday at home.
That's
Steelers and Ravens 3-0. Chills. I don't think he ain't bigger than that this early in the year. I'd rather have him for that game to stop Bell.
Yeah.
Fournette, not too worried. Rookie, yeah, he's a big bruiser. He's a big runner. He's physical. He can get the dude. Give him the rock. He's gonna perform. But
he ranks fifth right now in the NFL.
Exactly.
for rushing yards at 140. So I mean,
correct.
That's,
yeah,
he's a threat, but
he is a very big threat.
He's not as big as Le'Veon Bell.
Well, Bell's kind of laid an egg already because he held out of camp, and they've already said September's a new August because these players are
getting used to it.
You're seeing a lot of sloppy football here. I mean, once October settles in, then you really start seeing it going.
Yeah.
But I feel like Brandon Williams, again, is going to be missed. Obviously, we're going to miss Yonder's presence, but it just sucks he didn't make the trip. But that brings another question. Is this injury that serious, or did they not want him to make the trip just for the sole purpose of healing and resting up?
I think it's more a healing thing because they said it's not long term. It's kind of like Zardarius Smith. He's already back on the practice field.
And as was Terrence West. He didn't practice, but he went to flight.
Yeah.
He made the flight. So.
So, I mean, there's a chance Terrence West plays, Zardarius Smith plays. But Brandon Williams, I think they're kind of like, look, we know you're not playing this Sunday. Mm-hmm. Just put the leg up, chill out for the week, watch the game with the family this time around. Yes, it sucks you're not coming
to
London.
It's got to be hard.
Oh,
imagine
absolutely.
That.
I mean,
you sign that big contract. You're one of the mainstays of the Ravens right now, one of the faces, and you got to stay home, bro.
And think about Wembley. That's like 100,000 people that could be cheering for you. So I
and
mean,
probably like 60,000 Raven fans and 2,000 Jags fans.
Right. But, but let's talk a little bit about who's going to be replacing him. Mike Pierce. I wanted to bring him up on the Red Eye Review, saying how impressed I've been the last 2 weeks with Mike Pierce. And he's a guy who went undrafted, who made a name for himself in the preseason last year in the fourth game. But Mike Pierce and Carl Davis looks like the leading guys that are going to take the place of Brandon Williams. Now, of course, this team, better with Brandon Williams. But Mike Pierce has been incredibly impressive the last season and a half that he has played with the Ravens. So am I worried that Brandon Williams will be gone for a while? Yes. But at the same time, Mike Pierce, I have a lot of faith in him.
Mike Pierce, I can echo that. I have a lot of faith in what he can do and get the job done instead of Brandon Williams. He's impressed ever since he's been a Raven. I sing his praises a lot. Loved him in the preseason. I'm like, this dude's just an absolute beast, and he's flying around there. He's been one of the healthiest guys out there. He's never really been on the injury report, if not hardly, with nicks or bruises. And I just feel like he knows the defensive schemes. Mm-hmm. He knows what his job is, and he gets it done.
Yeah.
And that's what you want as a Raven, especially a defensive player. He just knows. He has that instinct. I love his passion, and I really can't wait to just see how it all comes together on Sunday.
Yeah, so him, Carl Davis, who's a couple other guys that potentially could...
Carl Davis, actually, I don't know if you realize this. I think it was... It was definitely the Browns game because I was there. It was one of the stuffs where the Browns were all the way deep and back in our end zone.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know what they show on TV versus what when you see the stadium, but obviously I get to see everything live, which is awesome. And Carl Davis made a stop, and he was like fist pumping and yelling. And I'm like, I just love the guy's passion. He was giving people high fives. I love that. You just, you know, you make a good play, you make a good stop for your team, and he's just fired up. And I feel like these guys are just going to come out swinging on Sunday.
I really think so. I mean, London, Wembley, reasons to be excited alone. They want to make an impression. But, I mean, it's kind of like a godsend for these two guys because Brandon Williams is out, they really can show what they can do. So I'm intrigued to see what happens. I'm not worried for the run game to the defense be able to stop it because these guys are going to be there. They're going to do well, and we'll see what happens later on. So let's talk now about interceptions.
My favorite topic.
10
defense.
10 for the year for this defense already.
Or 10 turnovers.
Yes, 10 turnovers. Yeah, not interceptions.
You're already starting off wrong foot.
Sorry.
I got to keep him in shape. Eight interceptions.
Two fumbles.
By who? Yours truly. Sucks.
Sucks. Well, you know, you're 51 right now. You're not 55.
Actually, there's a story about this jersey. today's obviously always Purple Friday, which I love. But our job gives us the freedom to, and God bless our management for doing so, is they let us wear football jerseys on select days. Today was one of them. But obviously, if I turn the jersey back over on the video, won't be able to see it. But it's actually Daryl Smith, 51. Remember Daryl Smith?
Mm-hmm.
This is the authentic jersey, as you see, the elastic.
Yeah.
Bought this at the yard sale for the Ravens. Ooh, okay. This is actually one of the jerseys they were issuing in practice. So I wear it all the time because I actually would support Suggs or support my Suggs array.
Yeah.
But I love it because it's actual the drill jersey, and everybody in the office is wearing those fake knockoffs, and I'm the only one in the office wearing a real NFL jersey. So, and I tell them the story because they're like, 51, who's, and it gets people talking. They're like, 51, who's 51, which you brought up. But yeah, definitely support my 51 on defense. But it's just the way to rock it. I love it.
Now, all right, so let's talk interceptions. There's 10 turnovers this season so far from the Ravens defense, and the Jaguars QB is an interception king. He loves to throw to the wrong team. So how many interceptions do you think the Ravens are going to get?
Four.
Four? Okay.
All right, I have it set. Yeah, four.
You thinking how many fumbles then?
One fumble again. We're going to have it. We're going to repeat. I think four interceptions and a fumble for five more turnovers.
Really?
I think it's just going to keep happening. I say let's keep it going until it stops. I mean, we've had four interceptions in each game, mm-hmm. one fumble in each game. But I think this is the game where we get an interception for a return. I think this is the game where we get a defensive touchdown, my friend.
Wow. He's been the NFL's top. He's been in the top five for interceptions the past 3 years. He's led the league with 18 picks and 14 fumbles in 2015. This seems like the perfect quarterback for this Ravens defense.
You better have the Ravens defense fantasy, I tell you that.
Absolutely.
Or anybody going against Blake Bortles every Sunday. But you remember, the Ravens have played him 4 years in a row.
That's right.
We've won the last two meetings. No.
They've won two and then...
No, they did because I remember that 1 year, 2 years ago, where we got sneak bit with that phantom stupid call in
right.
Doomerville, and I was there for that.
Was that last year? I think that was
2 years
last year.
Ago.
Was it two?
We beat them last year. Remember?
Okay, right.
It was the game
it was
after.
It was a thing, right?
It was, yeah, me and you watched it together at Jimmy's.
That's right, yes.
You forget these things.
It's late. It's Friday.
He's getting old. Jeez, late Friday. Come on, what are you, like 60?
It's almost 8. I'm got to get to bed soon.
That's right, yeah, we got to record real quick so you can get to bed on a Friday night. Cause it's the weekend. I'm sorry, Brandon. Well, we're in range of schedules to get it done during the week.
Right.
It's Purple Friday, man. It's London. Lighten up.
All right, so let's move on to the offense. Let's talk about it. Marshall Yanda out for the year. Huge blow. Ed Reed said this is the same. It's going to have the same effect as if Joe Flacco was out for the rest of the year. That's pretty telling how
pretty
much
big.
Marshall Yanda means to the team on and off the field.
It's pretty big.
So What happens now? Who replaces him, and how does this affect the rest of the offensive line? Do you think they're going to shuffle some players around? Are we going to see some backups come in? What do you think?
Well, as we covered on the Red Eye Review, Skura and Bergstrom, Tony Bergstrom, are up and coming. I feel like right now, and I tried to get a handle on it, and even yourself, Brandon, were able to find any good nuggets for us. The Ravens are very playing this one close to the chest, where they're going to play a card shuffle here.
Yeah,
they're going to shuffle the deck, see what works. It's the same thing when years back when Bryant McKinney was in the doghouse and we had to shuffle around. Same thing when
shipped him to Miami.
Well, after we gave him the title. I swear, if we didn't put him in after that run, I don't think we would have had that run.
Yeah.
Just remember, we put him back in, it's all said and done.
Yeah.
Just call it what it is. I really think if Bryant McKinney didn't play, 2012 wouldn't have really happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Maha America wouldn't happen because he was part of that.
True.
I just really feel that the Ravens are going to look at this game and really – again, I'm not looking ahead to Pittsburgh. I hate to even say that, but I feel like this is kind of like they're going to test it. What's going to work against Jacksonville, and then they're going to test it and come back home and prepare for the big game in week four coming up. And I don't want to bypass London, but, Steeler Week, I live for it. I'm like, London, but Steeler Week. It's two big weeks ahead. I'm on overload. I really feel like the Ravens right now, apart from who's set on the line, you already got Ronnie Stanley there. In anchoring the ends, I really feel like the Ravens are going to find who's going to work and who's not.
Yeah,
I've read good things about Bergstrom and I read good things about Skura, but then I also read the pros. I read the cons on each and read the pros. Really like to see how it plays out. It's hard to gauge in practice for these guys, but let's see. I'm going to really be focused on the running and the pass blocking. Obviously, it starts in one of the trenches and lost in the trenches, as I always say here on the show. I really can't pick out who's going to be the starting five on the line. It's going to be really tough.
Now, how does this affect Joe Flacco's game? Because, I don't know if you saw this or not, but he was on Sirius XM, and he came out and said, my back's not 100%.
Yeah, I heard that.
What do you think in telling people that? Because he said, it's been great the first 2 weeks because I haven't really been hit that much. So, Marshall Yanda's out. There's a good chance he might get hit a little bit more in this game. How does it affect Joe going forward?
I think it affects him where he's got to be more aware in the pocket. He's got to feel that pressure, and he's got to get out of there. I was impressed with his scrambling ability against the Browns. I literally turned to my buddy and looked and was like, dude, he's been – even though I hate to say it because he's been on the run, but when he's escaped the pressure, he was smart with the football and threw it out of bounds. I don't know what – I wasn't there in the huddle with him. I'm not there on the sideline with him. But up in the stands where I'm at in 517 – he didn't show any signs. Like, it wasn't like he was wincing or walking slow. And then I watched him as he walked to the sideline. I watch him over there on sideline. He wasn't getting tendon on. He wasn't getting stretched out. So I feel like, yeah, you might have still feeling the after effects of hitting. I mean, when you're hitting the NFL, it's body-to-body contact. It's
going
to
hurt.
It's going to hurt. You might feel it after a few days after your adrenaline wears off.
Right.
Same thing with working out. I feel great after working out, but then next day, if I do leg day, can't walk.
Yeah.
I don't do legs, and then I can't walk right out as soon as I get to the gym. It usually happens the day after, about 12, 24 hours. Yeah, I feel like Joe's he's going to say he's back to 100%. You know, he was held out of camp all this year. Hardly was ever in the preseason. He didn't get any action, he didn't get any practice. Now he's getting game action, and I feel like now he's not going to be 100%.
Yeah.
No one's ever going to be 100%. Even the guys that are healthy, let's say just healthy on the team, they're not 100%.
Sure.
Because they got what – nicks and bruises and wax and dings, and you know, it's the nature of the beast, man. It's the nature of the game. But he's probably gonna say he's not 100%, but let us play, do the talking. If he's out there and his line's blocking for him, let's so be it. Let him out there and go throw three touchdowns.
Yeah.
I really can't wait to see it. That's going to be a focal point of really me watching it on Sunday morning and really honing in on the run blocking,
right,
with Yonda out, who replaces him and how that spot is. Because I want to see how Howard holds up too, because Howard in the Browns game, and I saw it a little bit in the Bengals game, especially the first time Flacco did get hit, Howard on the right side did let his guy through, and Flacco, it was that one where Flacco really took a shot.
Yeah.
And that was Howard's guy. So I want to see where they put these guys, and if they keep Howard on the end, I don't know.
Okay. All right, so also that's going to change up Joe's game and the offensive game is the fact that Terrence West might not play, but this Jags defense are very good against the pass.
They had like 10 sacks in the first game.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I mean, this might be a defensive struggle. I expect it to be.
Right. And, they're the fourth best pass defense of the league right now. But that means that Joe may have to actually spread it around a little bit and not just throw to Jeremy Maclin like he has been, because we haven't seen Perryman, we haven't seen Wallace really do anything. Now, Wallace said, you know, he wants the ball. He brought that in over the week.
He wants the rock.
He wants the rock.
He said, wants the rock, baby.
Right.
Oh, give me the rock.
And everybody does, but that means that they're going to have to contribute. Joe's going to have to throw it to him a little bit more. And can he trust those two? Are we going to see these guys, you know, show up a little bit?
I really believe so. And
you have to, really, right?
Well, you're right. You have to, but Marty even said himself, he's going to look to get Mollis the ball.
Right.
With West being banged up, I don't know right now if he's questioned for a game-time decision. It's still early for that.
Yeah.
But we are the first game really early on Sunday, so we should have the injury report, which I'm surprised we don't.
While we're asleep on Saturday.
Actually, I think
– Well, like one injury report –
I think
report,
I got it. It just was half.
One of the injury reports came out and said that Max Williams on the offense, he's not playing this game, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, I got – obviously, Brandon Williams, we already know Hill's out. Campanero, Za'Darius Smith, and West are questionable, but they don't say anything about a game time decision. So we kind of got the little rundown.
Right.
But I'm expecting to see how West is. I'm happy he made the team. Hopefully he'll be dressed on Sunday.
Yeah.
We need everybody. We know Buck Allen's more than capable of handling the load for the running backs.
Sure.
Two words I got for you. Alex Collins.
Okay. I mean, you were so impressed last week.
Was I not? apart from the fumble, again, we've already covered that.
Yeah.
I picked up in my own fantasy league in pretty much every league I'm in.
Yeah.
Because I had a feeling they were saying Terrence West didn't really practice all week.
Yeah.
And Harbaugh kind of gave us a little nugget that people who show like he did, like Collins did, will get more playing time.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel this might be the Allen Collins show come Sunday morning. West might be on the sidelines, or if not, he might be in there for a little action.
Sure.
So that's another big focal point, because you already have Yonda out, then you want to see how these guys really run, because the running game's been on point so far in the last two games. And you're right, we got to get the ball in the playmaker's hands. You got to get Mike Wallace, man. He, virtually the best player last year. I know you have Maclin, who's a couple years younger than him.
Sure.
Maclin's been the focal point. I'm not trusting Perryman's hands right now. Ben Watson's awesome.
Yeah, he's
Max Williams and Nick really Boyle, they're getting it done.
Yeah.
Tight end position, I have no worries. Running back position, I have no worries. I want to see what these receivers can do. Put the ball in 17's hands, for goodness sake. Please. Call a play. Again, I don't know if they – and I didn't really see any – I think they just let it go. But I didn't really see the team cover on why there was that miscommunication. Remember when Wallace kind of gave up?
Right.
didn't really hear anything about that, whether it was an excuse or whether he owned up to it and said, yeah, I ran the wrong route or just misjudged it. I don't know what that was about, but yeah. That better not happen again. And they better correct it. And if Joe throws a deep pass to Wallace, I want to see what like it happened last year in the Steelers game where he takes it 90-something yards for the score. The dude's got speed. The dude can still obviously catch. It's not a matter of that. Get him, just call the right plays and get him the ball. I want to see Mike Wallace with 5 and 75 and a touchdown on Sunday. That's my goal for personally for stats.
All right, so obviously we do need we do need the receivers to be out there and actually be working. But I want to finish it up here. If Terrence West is out, do you see Buck Allen being the starting running back?
Absolutely. No question.
So even after last week with Alex Collins, you don't think you would start the game with him?
No, you're going to see it shift up. Okay. You know, West was 1, Allen was 2,
yeah.
Collins was 3. Obviously, West goes down, or if he doesn't play, Buck's 1, and then you got Collins at 2.
Okay.
Maybe West plays, but like I was saying, maybe sprinkled in there with a few decoy plays or maybe give him a screen pass. But yeah, let's see what happens. I mean, I think this questionable injury, I think he'll suit up and I think he starts.
Yeah.
I don't think this is an injury where, I mean, he says questionable. If he weren't going to play, they would already list him as out. So that's why I have a feeling he's going to be dressed. He's going to be starting behind number 5 in the running back. But I just feel like, as the game wears on, you might see Buck and you might see a lot
more
Collins.
Him a little bit more.
You might see a lot more of the 1-2 punch on the other side. All especially right. If we get a big lead, he might pull West out.
Yeah.
I'm expecting this to be another Ravens blowout. Not a huge blowout, but I'm expecting this one to be handled solidly.
All right, so lastly, there is the Ravens drafted a player who originally was from London, and he hasn't seen the field yet. But do you think if there is, you know, is there a chance he like suits up and maybe if there is a blowout, like you're saying, he plays a little bit? Because he was on the Lounge podcast and talked about how he was flipping the channels when he was a kid.
He wasn't on the call.
You know what? You know how many times I've tried to get people on this podcast?
You've been working hard. Me and you have been trying, man. Yeah. I like reach out to fans, reach out to players. You reached out to Cor Aiken. You've reached out to everybody. I mean, one of these days we'll get them.
One of these days. But this guy, he was watching the game in Wembley. He was fascinated with it, moved to the U.S. with his dad, all to pursue this dream of football.
Wow, it's incredible. Look at him now.
I kind of feel like, I mean, well, he hasn't played a snap yet in the NFL.
He did get drafted by one of the premier franchises, so he's doing something right.
But could we see him on Sunday?
That's an absolute resounding yes. I feel like Harbs is going to get this one right. I feel like they know homecoming.
Yeah.
Maybe even one play. I mean, you're talking to the head coach who put Ray Lewis in victory formation for his last game here. You're talking, you just know.
Yeah.
You know the right plays to do, and I feel like it's the right thing to do. If he doesn't, I'll be shocked.
Yeah.
I feel like this is the time, especially because we're so thin at the line.
Uh-huh.
Why not give him a shot?
Yeah.
What's worse can hurt, especially when we're up 20 points in the fourth quarter, which might happen. It will happen.
Very.
What's worse can happen? We're already down yonder. Put him in there. See what he can do. He's a rookie.
Why not?
It's the Jaguars. It ain't the Steelers.
All right.
Why not?
All right, Josh. Have we covered everything for this Purple Friday preview?
Brandon, the big international game in London.
In London.
Quote the Raven, nevermore. I don't know if there's the British term for it. We have to figure out something for that. But I was trying to do my British accent, but it wouldn't work out too well. So
I think we would just offend people if we tried.
Oh, I tried. I've been trying all day.
Cheerio.
Everybody was doing that at work. They're like, you ready for London? And I was like, come, really? And I stop, governor. And I'm like, stop it. Like, they were just, because I work in like equals country. So yeah. They're all ragging on me, like, you waking up early, bud. And of course, I'm waking up early.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to wrap up everything. I talked to a few West Coast fans. I do know a lot of people who are going to have to get up early for this game. 6:30 a.m.
6:30. Ooh.
In Western. It's 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Western. Now, John, one of our supporters from the call, went to him the Giants game last year. I asked him, is he in Arizona? He told me, and I'm pretty sure he's fine with me sharing this, he told me he's going to a bachelor party the night before. He's like, I ain't waking up for that game. I said, you're going to record it. I was like, you know what? Well, what's funny is I was joking with my pastor. He's like, I have to check my phone during the game. I said, well, just remember, about 10:30, I'm going to be celebrating a touchdown somewhere. So, but a lot of people, it sucks, unfortunately, because the game, and we did talk about it, the game's at 9:30 a.m. Maybe the NFL get it right, make it an evening game for London, and make it a 1 o'clock Eastern kickoff for us and get back to normalcy there. But I like it how it's staged in its own right. It's almost like a marquee game, but it's not.
Yeah.
Because we're the only game on that morning, so using with people getting ready and watching NFL Game Day Morning, NFL Network, or ESPN NFL Countdown, or whatever you watch, or however you get ready, there's football on. So there's football at 9:30 all the way till midnight for the Sunday night game,
yeah,
which is going to be a good one, and then got Monday night. So I feel like when they do that, you get your fix for 12-plus hours,
yeah,
about 14 hours of football instead of about 12, so you get a two, three more hours. But I feel like if, number one, if you're a huge NFL fan, got fantasy implications, or if you're a Ravens or Jags fan, that's the viewership. I mean, I think the West Coast, you're really not going to see it a viewership unless you're a fan of those teams, as I said, or fantasy implications, or you're just up and you want to watch football, or you're that into it. But it's interesting. I've gotten a pulse on all over the country, and a lot of people are going to have to wake up. A lot of people are DVRing it, waiting. I know I probably couldn't wait.
Yeah.
But it's going to be – just imagine trying to wake up at 6:30 knowing that no bars or anything and show it, and you have to watch it in your own home at 6:30 in the morning, yelling and screaming.
Yeah.
Maybe better get the wife and kids out of the house because waking them up. But
well, a lot of places around here are going all out. They're opening up
it's
early
awesome.
At 8 o'clock.
How many places are doing like brunch and everything? It's awesome.
Yeah.
Someone said kegs and eggs.
Kegs and eggs, that's a big one. But like the place I'm going, they're having this breakfast buffet, but they're serving coffee. But it's London. You got to serve some tea.
Oh, they're doing tea.
I want them to instead of coffee. Like I want, you know, a cup of tea.
Yeah, I heard a lot of great speaking over there.
We said we wouldn't do accents. I'm sorry. I apologize.
I was trying to do it. It's just awesome, though. It's one of my favorite accents.
Yeah.
It's just, I love it.
Want
I
a girl? My God.
Stop.
Oh, my God.
Stop. All right, so. Stop. That's a great way to end the show.
Yeah.
Great way. Oh, my God.
Keira Knightley? Oh, I love
right.
you.
I love it, Brandon. You're great. But apart from that, the culture over there I hear is outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a lot of great stories already from fans. I got a text from my buddy. They were out and about. They said the local folk are so welcoming.
Yeah.
They're learning a lot about London. One guy had like this couple show them, and they met this couple up for lunch just randomly talking a bit because they were going to game. They're Ravens fans in London, living there.
Yeah.
They're originally from the States. They moved to London, Ravens fans. They ended up like going out to the town and showing all the insights. So I'm just hearing a lot of great stories about the culture and from the other fans out there, and it's just great. And that's why I love what we do and having the different cultures on the show, because everybody's around from different places. We all share the love of the Ravens, but I know the Ravens aren't playing abroad a lot. This is once in a lifetime opportunity, but it's just great that when I know our buddy Rickard's going to come in from out of states, and he's coming here for Thursday Night Football. Now I get to show him what it's all about. Ravens tailgating, being under the lights, Miami Dolphins Thursday Night Football. It's going to be incredible. He's only here for a few brief nights, and he said he's going. I think he's going to D.C. to do a day trip. So just to get your news people to the call. And I know I think Dusty, our buddy Dusty, out from Ohio, him and his brother, I think they're coming for the Steelers game next Sunday. So and they were with us the Bengals opener a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
I recall. So I love it how with the out-of-staters, they come here and we get them introduced to the culture.
Yeah.
It really means a lot. And it excites me because I get to show them what it's all about.
Yeah.
And, not that, other cities, they do differently, but it's just the difference. When you experience Ravens culture and really dive in and the stadium experience and being with Ravens family,
yeah,
I feel like that's what it's all about. And I just love hearing the different stories about their interactions. And I love it when I share my road trip stories and I see Ravens fans. It's crazy how my road trip started when I went to Charlotte in 2010, and we were at the pep rally at a restaurant, and I see like three people I knew from Bel Air, and I'm like, it's just great to like, hey, you guys went too, and it just grows.
Yeah.
And then you see the same people going every road trip, and it's awesome. And the support, like I told the guy on Twitter today, we travel well. He was impressed with the Ravens showing. Couldn't be more impressed. And Ray Lewis had a lot of great things to say about the team, about our defense, and I can't wait to get it going on Sunday. It's going to be great, man. The show, the world, all eyes are watching this game, whoever's going to be up, and obviously the NFL covering it big because it's their big international game, and we're showcased in it. I feel like as a franchise, got to be honored in that.
Oh, absolutely.
It's the rate. I think they're trying to get every team worked over there.
Yeah.
The place, I feel like maybe the Ravens will be there another 10 years or so. Maybe we'll get to go next time.
Yeah.
But I think we're guaranteed to go back. I just don't know if it would be, 5, 6, 7, 10 years. But I feel like it's an honor and a privilege to get so. It's just like being like on Thanksgiving night or, you know, whatever those games may be, marquee matchup, especially Monday Night Football later this year against Texans.
Yeah.
And Thursday Night Football against Dolphins. When you're showcased in that, it's, hey, we better show up because the world's watching, or, hey, the NFL Network's here. I can't wait for them to gush about our defense again, or, hey, Joe Flacco's impressing. That's what I love.
Yeah.
You know, I always like being that flying under the radar. Don't let everybody pick the Steelers because we're going to win the division anyway. I'd rather do that. I don't want to be the favorites all the time, but a lot of every panel picked us. It was unanimously the Ravens should win this game. To throw out my prediction, I'm going 27-13.
Wow. Okay. So not close at all.
No. Yeah, this is going to be another blowout game.
All right. Well, cool. That's great to hear. I like that. I definitely think the Ravens are going to win.
3-0, baby. 3-0.
I don't know if it's going to be that easy due to our injuries. It may be, you know, I'm thinking maybe like 27-20, but
Ooh. We'll
see.
You're giving us a nail biter on Sunday morning, man. I don't know if I'm ready for that.
I think the NFL wants some drama.
No, drama's going to be next Sunday on October 1st, let me tell you that, when the earth shakes when it's Ravens Steelers again, number one.
All right, guys, if you are over in London, if you want to send us some pictures over the weekend of the stuff you're doing, the seats you have in Wembley, you can do that. You can tweet to Josh or I. You can tweet to me at BrandoCast. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
And go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. You can like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, we'll be sharing all kinds of cool stuff. And please share with us on Facebook as well, because we would love to see more of those London photos. And if anybody gets to meet some former Ravens or anything like that, share it all with us, and we will share it with everybody on the show as well.
What a shout out to, speaking of that, I want to give a shout to Jim. He actually gave us a good review this week. New listener.
Oh, wow.
So
thank you.
I just want to give a shout out to him. I just always appreciate that. It's just, he gives us, you know, the good vibes, good feedback, but just love the you even said it. I think we said the last show. How many just new listeners and the support just grows and people are just clamoring. I love it. Keep it up. I love it. And we're going to do, everybody always says, keep it up. But I mean, we're rolling 5 years strong.
5 years, man. Can you believe that?
Since Super Bowl year.
Yeah.
Our first year. It was like, how can we top that? But now we're covering London. We cover Super Bowl.
Yep.
We've been places.
We've done it all.
A snow game.
Did a snow game. We've traveled around the city.
We've done a Hall of Fame coverage, year. And we're going to do one next year.
Yep. Went to different spots around the state celebrating the Ravens and going to Posegrave.
We've done a lot.
Lighthouses, and we got kicked off of M&T Bank Stadium ground once.
Yeah, we're bad. we're very bad.
All right, guys, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm,
Overcast,
Google Play Music, Satchel, and you can watch this episode on YouTube because we are coming to you live from Studio B in Baltimore. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Tell people in London about
us. In London. I love that.
Let them know about the call. Say, I'm a Ravens fan. I celebrate Purple Friday by listening to the call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. If anybody runs into Keira Knightley, Daisy Ridley, somebody like that, give them my number or my Twitter address.
He's trying so hard.
I really need a British sugar mama. That's what I need.
Keep it real. Love it, man.
All right, Josh.
There's nothing around here. Ugh, it's Baltimore.
Well, that's another story. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Always, my friend Brandon. Thank you so much to everybody in London. Hopefully you're enjoying the call as you get ready for the weekend. Can't wait. This is what it's all about. The showcase, the feature in the game with London and Jaguars. It's going to be a great, great game. If it lives up the billing this past Thursday night, I really hope so. But now I'm feeling it. I'm feeling another Ravens trouncing. Defense is going to dominate as usual. Can't wait to see how it all comes together. We don't have all the troops. As we know, the injuries are there. Some will be back on the mend. Some are out for the years. We know. But what's going to happen, I feel like it's going to be another key game-winning effort, and I feel like we're going to bring one home and get ready for Pittsburgh. We got to get through Jacksonville in London. And my concern is for the team is don't want to get caught up in the excitement. I know it's London. I know the players are excited, being maybe somewhere new, experiencing the culture. But remember, it's a business trip. Let the fans enjoy it. It's a business trip for the Ravens, and they know that. They're professionals. They know what's at stake. It's just like being at the Super Bowl. It's the same thing. And I feel like this is Super Bowl-like atmosphere. Without the pressure of winning a title, even though we're getting to that point, it is a regular season game that counts towards that goal. I feel like the Ravens know We know it's a job that needs to get done, and I feel like it's going to get done in a great winning effort, as we know, Ravens style. In London.
In London?
Baltimore Ravens. Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.